Today's episode of The Mom Game is presented by our friends at Gateway GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is Gateway's got it. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new GMCs and GM-certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaygmc.com, look for the Shop, Click, Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule that delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaygmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade. And welcome inside-ish the Coppola Studios for episode 279 of The Mom Game. Julie, first of all, we're going to get to where you are in just a second, but I don't have any Coppola wine in my Coppola studio, and it makes me very sad. So I will be making a trip to the liquor store today because I've got to get some wine for the house. And then I also have to get some wine for a big Kendra Scott event that we have coming up next weekend, which I'll tell everyone about in a little bit. But welcome inside the Coppola studios with sad face, no Coppola wine, and totally dropped the ball.
We're going all natural today.
Yeah, I know. Like, so no booze mom game. Everybody buckle up. Okay, so you, Julie, we know you're in Canada. I had no idea the views that you had in your Canadian digs.
I am sitting on top of the island.
Okay, you're on top of Vancouver Island.
I am currently on top of Vancouver Island, just kind of like levitating a little bit
hanging
from the
out.
Ground with my Gateway microphone. Yes. No, this is my annual trip to Vancouver Island, and I'm in my brother-in-law's conference room at 460 Realty. If anybody wants to buy some land, buy some houses up here in Canada where it's beautiful, give them a call, 460 Realty. But this is the same conference room that I sit in every year now. It's been a few years. And it's surrounded by windows and beautiful views of the whole, you can see the ocean and mountains and hills, but the lighting, because of the windows, does not look good. So I decided to sit in front of a blank wall this week, and that just wasn't doing it for me aesthetically. So I was able to find a photo and make it my background. And what you're seeing right there is actually Nanaimo. We fly in right over this area towards the city on a seaplane when we come here, and it's beautiful, and that's where I'm at.
Yeah, so, it looks beautiful.
Yeah, thanks.
So I feel like, so you're going to be, we're going to be remote for 3 weeks. So this is the first of 3 weeks. I feel like each week you should try to bring a different backdrop to the, to the show.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is like my overview. And then, you know,
I need to go to Vancouver Island.
Oh my gosh. You do, Emily. Have you been to Vancouver?
No.
Yeah. Well, you've been to Seattle probably lots.
So I've been to Seattle a ton.
You're not far from here when you're in Seattle.
I mean, and I love Seattle, but that looks way prettier.
Yeah, it is way prettier. So this is the island that Kelly grew up on, and it's island, but it's actually very, you know, it's large. There's multiple cities and all that. But when he was growing up, it's like you could ski, you could golf, you could fish, like all in one day if you really wanted, because there's so mountains, like, there's ocean, there's so everything.
Snow skiing.
Yep, there's mountains. They had a mountain cabin on Mount Washington, and he grew up skiing all the time. Yep.
So what kind of temperatures are we talking about right now?
So right now it's like their warmest time of the year, and it is like, it's all Celsius. So I feel just like, it's so weird living somewhere where everything's measured differently. You feel like a big dumbass. People have all these conversations and you're like, oh yes, it's getting very warm. It's 20, you know, or whatever. And, right. And it's funny too, because the translation from Celsius to Fahrenheit, it's a little bit weird. It's not like something super concrete. It's not just like add 30. It's like double plus blah, blah, blah. So even people that live here don't really know what it is. So we sort of know I mean, you can always Google it on your phone or whatever, look up your weather app. But it's just kind of funny to me that people are all just kind of guessing like the translation from Fahrenheit to Celsius.
So
all that to say, yeah.
Because you know 212, right? Is like, that's like 100.
212
degrees Fahrenheit is 100 degrees Celsius, right? Okay.
Well, that's like another weird one. There's all these weird things. Like
that. Listen, I just pulled that out of my ass. I thought I remembered it from like grade school, learning that.
And I think people don't really know. Nobody really knows.
I don't. I'm just kind of pretending.
People have to do it all the time. They're like Googling like how to do it. Like, cause they don't need to, I guess. Because I think it's like double and add 30 kind of deal.
Okay. It seems like Celsius though. Like if 0 is freezing and like 100 is boiling, I'm like, I'm in on that. Like that seems way simpler than 32 and 212. Like, what are we doing?
But like it's, you know, in the 20s here is like in the 80s at home. So I don't know that 100 is boiling. I don't.
Here we go again.
It's crazy. And then just meters, shining the spotlight kilometers. On
how uneducated we are right now. Let's just shine it. Emily and Julie are dumbasses.
We shine it on ourselves because we don't care. Everyone else pretends. Yeah. Everyone else pretends to know all this.
Does anyone really lean into that? Okay, we do lean into it.
We lean into it. But yeah, and then they use meters, kilometers, not miles. So anyway, all that to say, it's like their warmest day of the year, I think, was 2 days ago. And it did get nearish to 90 in Fahrenheit. And it's interesting because people here don't all have air conditioning because they don't need it very often and it's expensive. And so, you know, it's like if you only needed something for 2 months a year, can you survive kind of deal without it? Because it doesn't get so hot that they're sweating in their house, really. It's just warm. So there's fans and, you know, but so my brother and sister-in-law's house, they do have an AC, but it's like so different because they're like, do we need to turn on the AC? Should we not? Okay, well, let's open the windows. And it's just this whole thing of do they put AC on in their house that we don't do. So it's all these, I just love coming. I love seeing another country, seeing how they operate here. It's so slow paced. It's so, no one cares about, from what I can tell, like types of cars, what you're wearing, like none of that shit matters. They just like are enjoying life in the nature and the ocean. And I love it.
Good for you. Yeah,
it's good. And then, of course, we're with the cousins and having all the cousins together is just so great because they don't get to see each other except for this visit that we make every year. And we're doing the parenting where everyone kind of takes a shift and helps each other out. And so it's good. We're in my brother-in-law and sister-in-law's house for a week. And then we move over to my father-in-law's house when he leaves because he's actually going to leave town and we're going to go take his house over, and that's on a golf course. It's really nice and pretty, and that'll be good to have our own space. Because what do they say about house guests? They house guests and something else expires, or it's too
milk,
whatever. Yeah, milk and house guests. Like you don't want for more than 10 days, 9 days, 7 days, whatever it is. We're pushing that. We're pushing that with our in-laws, or brother and sister-in-law, and they're so sweet to have us for this long. But yeah, it's our annual summer trip. And so thank you all for adjusting and letting me come see my family and still do the mom game. The
good
beauty
for
of
you.
A podcast.
Yeah. That's fun. Well, y'all have a fantastic time. We'll be checking in once a week to see what adventures you've found coming your way.
For sure. For sure.
So
how's your world?
Oh, my world's good. Hattie came home from camp early. It is a long story that I really just don't want to get into on here. She's fine. Everything's fine. It seems like camp this year was just not a good fit for my girl. And so we had a number of conversations, Mike and I did, and, you know, were able to talk with her anyway. We made the decision to go pick her up after about a week at camp. And it's, you know, you always say, oh, she just needs to tough it out. And, you know, you say all these things as a parent, you know, like this is, you know, we paid good money for this camp. She's going to stay there and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, things happen and you realize, like we've said a million times, parenting is just a series of doing things that you said you'd never do. And so we did. And now that she's home and we've had a chance to talk with her about things, we definitely made the right decision. So anyway, her 2-week camp basically turned into a 1-week camp. Of course, that happened when I was on my singular road trip of the season that lasted, it was 3 days in Houston. And, you know, of course, all hell breaks loose. But
man,
yeah,
that's how it works.
It is. It is. And I've, you know, Miss Vicky's at our house today and she was like, every time you leave town, something happens. And I was like, I know, I know. So anyway, that was my one road trip of the year and it happened. So check that off the list and move on. So then Henry goes to camp on Sunday. My sister is actually going to have Hattie at her house in Virginia for a few days. So they'll both be gone for a little while. So they're still moving and shaking this summer. And it's flying by and it's been fun so far. And, yeah, summer's fun and a little chiller than
nice,
school
huh?
season. So that's good. Houston was fine. Funny story from Houston. So Rangers were in Houston to close out the first half of the season, took 2 of 3. They look way better than they have, you know, pretty much all season. They seem like things are finally starting to click. We'll talk about that a little bit more in sports courts. But when we go to Houston, we stay at this place called the Post Oak, and it's a beautiful hotel in Uptown Houston. It probably one of the nicest hotels we stay at. So Saturday was actually an off day because it was a national game. So I only ended up working 2 games, the Friday and the Sunday game, but I'm still there. It's not like I can do anything, go home or anything. So anyway, my friend Julia Morales, who does what I do for the Astros on a much more regular basis.
The Mom Game Zone.
Yes. Oh, yeah, we've had Julia on. And so she and her daughter Val came to hang out at the hotel pool with me. So we're there all day Saturday afternoon, had a blast, you know, just laid by the pool, ate, had a couple cocktails, and then they left and, you know, went home. And then I came back to the room and order room service, and you know, it was a very low key road trip for me. But then I look at my bank, I get on my bank account today, like my online banking, and there's one charge from the Post Oak, which I was very well aware of. I had 2 rounds of room service and a day at the hotel pool, so it was not a small bill, but it was worth it to me. I was like, anyway. So didn't think anything of it, moved on. Then I log on today and there's another charge for $271. And I was like, wait a minute, I already paid there's 2 different charges. Like, what is it? So I call them and I'm like, hey, so I paid my bill and it was X amount. And then I saw this other charge on my card. Can you tell me what that's for? And they're like, oh, yes, ma'am, Miss McCoy or Miss Jones. I can't remember what they said. Well, you know, look at this for you. Oh, they're like, oh, that's for a bottle of Casa Azul from your room. And I was like, what? It was like the hotel, like the mini bar. And they were like, yeah, there was a bottle of Casa Azul. And I was like, I'm not even a tequila girl. Like, I'm a wine girl. I didn't touch anything in the mini fridge.
Yeah.
And so they were like, okay, well, we'll dispute it and let Jeez. You know and take care of it. So my thinking is this just something they, and I'm not trying to like incriminate Post Oak, but like, are they just like, because this hotel is bougie. I mean, bougie. And I wonder if they're just like, and we'll just slip something in and see if they notice. I don't know.
Like someone else take a bottle out of there?
And I know, and I don't want to slander housekeeping, but do you think housekeeping maybe just was like,
that Casa Azul, that's some good shit.
I know. So anyway,
that's like, interesting.
Warning, check your bank, because I don't check my online banking a ton.
Same.
But so word to the wise, check that shit, because I'm like, I'm not paying $270 for a bottle of tequila that I didn't even drink.
So they said that it was in the room and then it was gone?
Yes. So that's what they were saying. They were like, it's a charge. I was like, the only thing I did was I opened the refrigerator and put a bottle of wine in there on top of all the stuff. But I was like, I didn't take anything out.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, it was on top of the refrigerator or thing in the cabinet. And I was like, I did not drink any tequila. I promise.
Yeah.
So anyway, stay tuned.
You'll have to let us know how that goes.
PSA, check your bank account to make sure that people aren't slipping bottles of Casa Azul in there.
Right? And just other things all the time. I feel like people could so easily just charge extra for stuff.
I know.
Country clubs, know. That's a big one.
It what? Like
country clubs, you know?
I thought you said strip clubs. I was like, oh, do tell.
Yeah. See how much you can put on credit at a strip club. No, country clubs, you know, there's just like a list. You don't pay attention. Places like that are like if you're traveling and there's a resort and you're just ordering stuff and then you pay one big chunk at the end. Like there could be so much stuff in there that I didn't actually do.
I know, but do I have the energy? I mean, I don't have the energy to go through the itemized bill, but I do have the energy to fight it if I'm getting charged $270 for a bottle of tequila.
Right. That must be some really, I have had it once before, but
Casa Azul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That expensive. That's crazy.
I know, it's insanity.
Yeah.
And I didn't drink the whole bottle. Like what's happening? Like I guess somebody would have taken, I don't know. Anyway, bottom line is I did not drink any Casa Azul at the Post Oak in Houston for the record.
Okay. I believe you.
I'm going to submit this as evidence to them.
Pass the Julie lie detector test.
Thank you very much. Okay. Let's talk. Obviously last week was really, really heavy for us, for everyone. And so obviously those affected by the floods in Central Texas are still on our hearts and on our minds. And, definitely don't want to let, this week pass without saying that. And, you know, the good we continue to see is remarkable, people raising money. And, there was a, you know, like a lemonade stand in Lubbock that raised like $50,000. There was one here in Fort Worth that raised like 63 or something. Like it's crazy. So good on everyone who's trying to do anything that they can, to help, in those ways. Yeah. And hopefully a break is coming from the weather, but good gosh almighty. It seems like they just
still raining.
Can't hit the break down there. Yeah.
It's still raining. And it's been raining in Dallas some too, right?
It rained a ton yesterday morning, Monday morning. We're shooting on Tuesday and we haven't had much since. But I think we're drying out here in Dallas. Hopefully that makes its way down to Central Texas for sure.
Yeah. I need to somehow get it off of my algorithm. But it's like, it's every story when I go to just like zone out. And so it does have a mental, I think, effect on you. And I've also like had, you know, it's just the visuals when you're trying to fall asleep now, it's all a struggle. And I know a lot of people are still really struggling.
Yeah.
Just mentally, like after processing all of that.
You know, and I think what I've started to do, which is not a good thing, like I've started to visualize tragedies like in my mind, which is not good.
No.
So like obviously I was not personally affected by the tragedies in the Hill Country or in Central Texas. But then I find my mind going somewhere like to where a personal tragedy affects me and my family.
Yeah.
And I don't know where, I think that must be a byproduct of the anxiety I'm feeling from seeing these images and things. I wonder if anyone else has experienced that. It's really weird.
I think so.
And I don't even want to tell you the things that are coming into my mind, but I am just trying to get them out of there. So if anyone has any tips on how to get these false made up scenarios out of my mind, holler at your girl.
Because a lot of people are struggling with that.
I know.
It's interesting. I know. Well, and even just being in the ocean with the kids while we've been here a little bit, it's like you start thinking about water as like, scary.
Yeah.
like it's just, it can be so powerful and unexpected. And everyone down there, like hadn't happened in, you know, hundreds of years or whatever, like you have no idea what it can do and how powerful it is. And now I'm being very fearful of water. Like,
I know,
it's just weird. So I think there's going to be a, like, just like with COVID, there was like a PTSD period afterwards where people didn't want to, you know, we're nervous to go to concerts and we're over washing hands and all that. Like, this is just something that's going to affect people.
I know.
In a similar way.
Yeah. And love and prayers to all those who are actually that experienced and lived this tragedy. Definitely all still on our, like I said, on our hearts and our minds for sure.
Yep.
Okay. Let's talk a little sports. Not a ton going on in the sports world, but brought to us by our friends at Williams Athletic Club and Kendra Scott. I want to promo an event that we have coming up. You're not going to be in town for it, but I am. And it's on, I believe, it's Saturday the 26th. Saturday, July 26th. It's at the Kendra Scott location in Southlake. So I'll be there modeling some Williams Athletic Club gear. They let me pick out something and I'm so excited about it. I think it was called the Gracie dress. Anyway, it's this like cool up and coming sports apparel brand. And so Kendra Scott and them have teamed up.
That's very nice.
They're having a, they're having an event at the South Lake store on the 26th of, is it the 26th or 27th? 27th.
It's the 26th. It's Saturday, sorry, July 26th from 9 to 10 a.m.
Saturday, July 26th at the Kendra Scott in South Lake. So super excited about that. I'll be out there. So please check out williamsathleticclub.com, obviously kendrascott.com. They've been so instrumental in raising money for the flood victims as well. So excited to continue our partnership with Kendra and meet these new partners. You've worked with Williams Athletic Club in the past, haven't you? Did you work with them?
I worked with For All, the golf brand.
Oh, you did the golf brand. So this is a more, okay, that's right.
Yeah, and this might, I don't think they're related. They might be, I'm not sure, but it's kind of the same, similar vibe. Like this is like an athletic golf tennis type of brand. So their stuff is really cool looking. So hopefully we can have a good turnout at the event to join you, Emily. It is from 9 to 10 a.m. and there's going to be brunch, bites, mimosas, and exclusive gifts.
Yay. Yeah. So come check us out.
For sure.
Check it. Okay. I talked a little bit about the Rangers. Went into the All-Star break. One game under 500. Took two out of three. Took two out of three from the Astros. And, you know, they're still very much in the wild card mix. I don't think they're going to be sellers at the deadline. I don't think they're going to be huge buyers. They could use a bullpen arm. John Gray, Josh Spores, both on their way back. So there's some promising things. The offense looks like it's finally starting to figure shit out, which is encouraging. But they just can't ever seem to, and I talked to Boach about it when I was in Houston, they just can't seem to get anything going. They can't seem to get any positive momentum. It's like they take two steps forward, three steps back, two steps forward, one step back. You know, it's just they can't seem to get anything going in a positive direction.
Yeah. So it was interesting because we spoke a little bit here on the show about the Rangers and just the different personalities and how maybe they're a little bit closed off to the media. I'm sure they have a lot of cool, great personalities on there, but they're not letting people in quite as much. And then there were headlines about this very sort of thing. And we didn't really get to talk about that, but I wanted to touch on it with you. And also, like, I truly think that that type of thing does affect your play. And I'm not saying specifically for the Rangers, but if your team isn't tight, if your team isn't close, if things aren't loose, then maybe, I don't know. I think that the morale of a team really goes a long way, and I'm sure they're great and have that behind closed doors. But I was here in Nanaimo. We went and watched a Nanaimo Blackhawks game. No, I totally butchered that. Nanaimo Night Owls. I can't ever remember it because it's such a new mishmash of mascots. But it's a Night Owls baseball team. So this is basically like the West Coast League. It's people who play in college and then they want to keep playing in the summer. So similar to the East Coast thing they have going on at Cape Cod. They're doing Nanaimo's bidding to get into the West Coast League and they have a team. Anyway, they were playing against the Washington Apple Sox the Nanaimo Night Owls. And it was so fun to just watch a different type of baseball and people at that level and the energy that they had. And we were comparing the dugouts. My little niece noticed this. She's like, this side of this team over here, like they're all so happy and they're all jumping up and down. And like they run out of the dugouts to congratulate each other after a hit. Like, and then the Nanaimo team for that particular game was very serious, like very, they weren't doing all that. Like, and it was just interesting to observe and to see a kid even observe that. Well, guess which team won? The Apple Sox won. But I think even all the way to the major league level, this, the morale, the way a team operates, how much they goof off, interact with each other, how loose they are, how much they want to play for each other and the manager. It's so important. And I am not speaking to the Rangers at all. I don't know anything about it, but that headline did come out with one of the players who left.
Yeah. So Kevin, for those who don't know, a couple weeks ago, Kevin Pillar, who was with us in spring training and to start the season and then ultimately ended up retiring, about a month or so into the season and made some comments on a podcast about how he thought they would be more, you know, unified and together. And it seemed like a lot of guys were on their own program and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, everyone has their own view and own opinion based on clubhouses they've been in the past. You know, I've only been in one clubhouse my entire career. So I can't speak to anyone else's. And I know that, you know, that can be easily misconstrued as to that this team isn't playing for each other. They're not together. They're not, you know, they're not playing for Boach, like all that kind of stuff. People could take those comments and make those, you know, draw those conclusions on their own. My whole thing is what comes first, right? The chicken or the egg? Does the winning and then the camaraderie come, or does the camaraderie come and then the winning comes? Like, it's like you can't ever tell which one's which. And I know when you're a team that has really high expectations, you've got a lot of veterans on there, that they're not performing the way that anyone expects, including them. And so then you just kind of get into this mode of, what can I do? And not saying being selfish, but like, what can I do to get myself out of this mess so I can help my team? And it's like, you know, I don't have time right now to worry about the other 25 guys on this roster. I've got to take care of my business, because if I don't take care of my business, then I'm not doing the best that I can for this team. And so it's kind of, you know, it's understandable if you do get off to if you're in a rut or if you're in a bad place. Like, you know, everybody always says, like, just do your job. Don't try to do too much. Just do your job. And so I think there's a tendency when struggles do happen like that, especially when they were as widespread as they were with this Rangers offense, you know, for the first couple months of the season, that everybody's just kind of like, what can I do to get myself better? And it's not because they're like, I got to be good. It's because I can't help this team if I don't perform. And so there's a little bit of both. I mean, you know, maybe that was a different situation than Kevin Pillar had been in previously in his career. And everyone has the right to their, you know, their
it's like, we want them to talk. So he was saying how he felt, but yeah, I think he got a lot of, probably was critiqued for even saying that, but
right.
It seems valid to have those thoughts. I think he said something like, yeah, this team, you know, after a couple years after winning the World Series, I thought it would feel a little different.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But what you're saying is totally true too. But maybe people, when they're losing or when they're not performing as well as they want to personally and as a team, it's like they almost go into a shell a little bit more.
And that's, I think that's what you see a lot, is that they just dig in and they're like, I got to get myself out of this. And then as soon as I get myself out of this, then I'll worry about it. But it's just, also too, though, it is different. I mean, in Kevin Pillar is an older player, and like he probably has seen, you know, different types of atmospheres and all that kind of stuff. But it's like I've said a million times, Julie, the game is changing. The game has changed a lot in my 20 plus years covering this particular team and in this game in general. It just as a whole has changed. And I think that's part of it. There's, you know, I think there's plenty of cutting up and doing all that fun, silly stuff behind closed doors. It's definitely not taking place in front of cameras. It's not taking place in front of media. And I think that's the way they want it, and more power to them. That's absolutely their right. If that they feel like that's their space, and they don't care what you think on the outside. They don't care what your perception is, as long as they have that bond and that camaraderie and that unity within their group, they really don't give a shit what I think, what you think, which also too, their prerogative. You know, it's from my perspective, you know, it's, you know, those 2010, 11, 12, whatever, those teams were so fun because they did everything in front of everybody. You know what? Well, not everything, but you know what I mean. And so they let us in on all that. And that's their decision whether they want to do that or not. Every team has its own personality from season to season. And so it'll be interesting to see, now that the offense is starting to click a little more, if things kind of collectively, you know, if everyone just kind of collectively takes a deep breath and is like, okay, now let's stop pressing so much and let's just go out there and play baseball and have some fun.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. I'd been wanting to chat with you about that though, because I saw those headlines and it was right around the same time we had a similar conversation. Yeah. Just about the different, you know, just how things evolve and players evolve and they work harder with their coach and their own.
These guys do so much more than they used to. Like, as far as like when they show up to the park, the meetings that they have, the preparation, the information that they're given. I mean, Boach basically told me like they cut back on some of like batting practice, like because they don't want guys taking so many swings, like they had to scale it back a notch. And so I think it's just a constant adjustment based on what your team is doing, who you've mm-hmm. got on your team, all that different kind of stuff. It's the game continues to evolve and it evolves within, you know, the course of a season.
Yep. It's interesting to see too. Like when you have kids and you want them to have fun.
Yeah.
That's what sports are. Like sports are supposed to be fun. And then it becomes someone's career. It becomes their job. It becomes their livelihood. And they get in their heads and it's yeah. like, just make sure you don't lose the fun.
I know. Can I go on one little rant right fast?
Sure.
I had a conversation with a colleague when I was in Houston and, you know, he was like, you know, bottom line, these guys are getting paid a lot of money to produce. And it's like, okay, yes, they are. But you know what? Someone decided that they were worth this amount of money and decided to pay them. And, you know, it's not just, okay, you're getting $35 million a year. So automatically you're going to get those results.
You're not a robot. Yeah.
Right. And nothing's guaranteed. It's like putting money in the stock market and be like, damn it, I expect returns. Like I put a lot of money in the stock market. I expect returns back. Like, there's no guarantees in this game or in any game. Yeah, you take a risk on guys. You pay them a lot of money. But that whole argument makes me insane. I mean, these guys are getting paid a lot of money to produce. Well, you're right. But someone gave them that money. Like, they're doing the best they can.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That argument to me is just so, it's just
and
such
you
a.
You hear it all the time in sports, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that was the whole like Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin,
yes,
horse shit, all like that. That was like, look at these contracts and they're not scoring yeah. enough. But like when you're part of a team and when you're on the ground, you know what these people are doing
yeah.
in the room, you know how they're leading, you know what they're doing off
right.
of, you know, and then it just comes and goes, the production on a baseball field or on the ice. It comes
I just
and goes.
Think it's such they're a human. Lazy argument. It's such
it
a
is.
Lazy argument. These guys are getting paid a lot of money to produce. Like, oh, okay, well,
you're
I'll
not
let him
trying.
Know. I'll, you know what? I'm going to go show him his contract and make sure he knows
right.
how much money he's making and what's expected of him. Like if
yeah.
that was the case, why don't you put it in there? Like I'll just make it an incentive laden contract and be like, okay, I'm going to pay you a lot of money if you hit these marks, but that's not the way that this works. Like,
no,
you're giving them a contract and then you're rolling the dice and hoping that they perform to the standard that you assumed and concluded that they were worth. And
yep.
that's the contract you gave them. So anyway, sorry, side rant for you.
No, it's true.
All right, let's do a little feed action brought to us by our friends at Audrey Dolan's Media.
Yes, thank you to Audrey Dolan's Media for everything they do for us here on The Mom Game, especially helping with our branding and our social media. They can do all kinds of stuff for you if you have a business that you're trying to scale, that you're trying to grow, and you just don't have the time to do it all. Give them a call. They can help you with influencer management. They can even help you find influencers to help you advertise for your business. Brand management, monetization management, collaboration management, influencer campaigns. If you are an influencer and you want some help with some of your stuff on the back end, then they can help you as well. Content creation, photography, social media management, website design. And what I'm learning is the more and more that we work with them, they really can conform to your needs. They're a bit of shapeshifters in that way. It's pretty cool. AudreyDollins.com to see if Audrey can help out you and your business.
Shapeshifters.
Yes.
I like that.
Isn't that a good one? I saw it actually.
It's a good one.
I mean, it's from the movie. I forget what.
You
Harry
watched
Potter,
the movie.
I don't know. Something like that. No, I didn't watch a movie, but I saw a post on Instagram and it was Travis Kelce with his former girlfriend, the African-American girl. I forget her name. She's beautiful. But like his look was like chain, like, you know, baggy pants, like whatever, just a total different Travis Kelce. And then him now with Taylor with the parted down the middle flowy hair and like a button up plaid shirt. And it was like, this is the best shape shift ever.
I had never heard of that.
So that's where I saw the word shape shift recently. And it's gotten in my head. I love it. It's like you're a shapeshifter. But yeah, just the pre and the post Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, based on like conforming to the woman he's dating. It was so funny. And by the way, what do we think of the parted down the middle hair? Is that like back?
No.
I think it's back. Yeah, it's like the
for people other than Travis Kelce.
Yeah, like he's following the trend.
Okay.
People no, are I, it's like the 90s heartthrob.
So look. Yeah, or like slight like isn't that yeah, it is kind of like yeah.
Like Zach Morris and
okay.
The butt hair producer Jasmine says, "Jasmine, you should just turn yourself on here."
Butt hair. Okay. So I thought Zach Morris had the over the to the side with the big front.
He had different hairstyles. Saved by the Bell was on for a while. He did definitely had part down the middle butt hair for a while. I mean, my brother had butt hair for a while.
Did he? Henry doesn't have butt hair. There's no part in Henry's hair. It's just total shag and it's all going toward his eyes. It makes Mike insane. I could care less. I do want him to like clean it up around his ears and his neckline, but other than that, I could care less.
The West Coast guys here have there's a trend right now where it's just like crazy. It's like almost like a mohawk, but like just wild. Like no one's brushing it. And it's like it's interesting the hair trends and how I see what's going
especially
on up here.
Like dudes now. I feel like dudes are in a hole, especially
dudes
young
can't figure
dudes.
Out their hair. Like the guys are having like hair identity crises.
Yeah.
Crises.
We might need to dive into that next week.
I think we should
we'll do some more research.
No one knows what to do with their hair.
Well, it's interesting you bring up Travis Kelce because his teammate, Patrick Mahomes, took some fire. And this was all over social media from a radio host. Oh, gosh. A radio host in Kansas City. His name is Kevin Keitzman. Mm-hmm. He called Pat Mahomes fat and embarrassing after seeing shirtless photos of him enjoying the 4th of July weekend with his family.
Kevin Keitzman, let's see how good looking you are.
You know what? I can't even, I mean, unreal. Seriously, fat and embarrassing. Like you're embarrassing. I don't know what you look like, Kevin Keitzman, but
that, I mean, he's old.
But don't you, is it just this a byproduct of like, let me see how many clicks I can get and I'm going to say something super, you know, unpopular. And now listen, does Patrick Mahomes have like a six pack and chiseled as all get out? No, but can you dispute what I mean, it's like people say about with the whole, when Luka Doncic was here, like, and they'd be like, I mean, he's so out of shape. And but I'm like, I don't care. The dude drops like 38 points a game.
Exactly.
I don't care. I don't care if he's a tub of lard. I could give two shits.
I think he's proven himself. I think Patrick Mahomes and Luka Doncic have proven themselves by now. And you little nerdy reporter, internet man can shut up.
Yeah. But also too, I got to thinking like, what if this would have been a woman? So what if it was, you know, Paige Beckers, Paige Beckers or Caitlin Clark, you know, a prolific female athlete. And someone said that, can you imagine the outrage that would happen if someone went on a radio show and called Caitlin Clark fat and embarrassing?
Yeah.
No. I mean, so let's,
and it really shouldn't be any different, you know,
it shouldn't be any different. So I'm here outraged about Patrick Mahomes being called fat and embarrassing. I will not stand for it. Put me on the record as not standing for it.
Well, it's like he's posted, I don't know if he posted the picture or if Brittany posted a picture and they're just enjoying 4th of July being normal, good people and enjoying the off season. Like who are you to talk about his body?
Yeah.
He is getting a whole lot of shit. The guy that did this. I guess to his trainer then wrote on the thing, Pat Mahomes' trainer wrote, send me your location so he can go kick his ass. I mean, come on, man. And that's it goes back to like media and this news cycle where you have to talk every day. I think it was radio hosts have to do it the most. You have to get out of your ass like to talk about because you have to fill 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day sometimes, and you see something and give you your filling time and it's word vomit and you say something, but I'm not defending him, but it's people need to get a life.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And it's funny you should mention fitness and all that kind of stuff. We're talking about this. We've got a guest coming up a little bit later that we recorded before you left. She's a fitness, a dietitian, a registered dietitian, and helps a lot of youth athletes, professional athletes. And we had a really, really cool conversation with her. So stay tuned for that. It's coming up in really a few minutes. I mean, really cool.
Like and how to help your children.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for Henry to listen to it because Henry's super hardcore about working out and blah, blah, blah. And so anyway, it's, she was super fascinating. Her name is Hannah Abuagu, I believe, if I'm saying the name right. So she's coming up a little bit later in the show. Super, super interesting conversation with her about fitness, diet, training, all that kind of stuff. She was really, really fun to talk to. Okay, let's get into a little TMG news desk brought to us by our friends at Estill Dog Psychology. Our friend Robbie is having a kids camp for kids.
The dogs up there instructing a bunch of kids.
He's having a kids camp to help kids get acclimated to dogs. Kids camp for dogs. Hey, dogs, come look at these kids. They're real cool. It's Saturday, August 9th from 9 to 12 at Printed Threads in Fort Worth. Lunch is provided on site after the official learning period. It's open to ages 6 to 16, limited to 60 campers. I think he's almost full, so be sure and get signed up if you want your kids to participate. Robbie provides all the dogs. It's basically just to get them more comfortable with dogs. Also, too, some kids just love to be around dogs and want to play with them, so they'll get the opportunity to do that. But this is a really cool thing that Robbie's doing to kind of bridge that gap between kids and dogs, and two, to help them learn their behaviors to help you better, be able to relate to them and read them and all those different kind of things. Adults could benefit from this as well. You can stay with your kids and watch yourself, or you can drop them off and pick them back up. But it should be a fun. I'm going to try to get out there with my kiddos on August 9th at Printed Threads in Fort Worth, again, 9 to noon. More information, you can visit estilldogpsychology.com. Or check out Robbie's Instagram page at Estill, E-S-T-I-L-L, Dog Psychology. He's a great resource. He takes care of my babies and has made them much more well-behaved. So big thanks to Robbie. We are the official media partner of the Estill Dog Psychology Kids Camp for Dogs.
And look what I'm doing right now. I'm not zoning out. I'm messaging him.
Oh, okay. Because I can hardly see with those beautiful pine.
It's hard to see when it's in the forest and the ocean.
It's a forest, yes.
Yes. But I'm messaging Robbie because I want to bring my kids, and I've been meaning to tell him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He'll love to have you, for sure. Yeah.
I'm sending him a note on Instagram.
Okay. I did have a couple things that I wanted to cover. So Jasmine, our sweet producer, brought to our attention a story that apparently now the new iPhone update or the new iPhones, one or the other, will notify you if you are having phone sex.
This is weird.
Thoughts.
So why do you, this is a new feature on the iPhone? Are they advertising this? I don't understand. I don't understand. Is it illegal? It's not illegal. Is it against? Right. Like, why would you need a phone alert?
I don't know, but yeah, like no shit.
I know it's not illegal.
Phone sex, you're killing my vibe. Do people, trying to get stuff done here. Like,
do people do that?
People have phone sex?
Yeah.
Julie. Yes.
What, does that work?
Anything can work. Where there's a will, there's a way, Julie.
Is this with your spouse or random person? Like, I don't understand.
Not random person. I mean, I think after you've been married for a time, it probably loses its luster. But yeah, I mean, yes, Julie, people are having phone sex.
Even when you can just go to like a porn website, why would you go?
You can't even do that in Texas anymore.
You can. You just can't go to Pornhub.
Oh, you can go to other sites?
Oh, yeah. You think all of Texas hasn't been...
Wait, how do you know this? Wait,
Because I work with Dan McDowell. What?
So why did they single out Pornhub? This seems very unfair to Pornhub.
I know. It's because they were like allowing... They didn't think that the restrictions on their age... Like they weren't doing it properly. So they were worried that kids that weren't 18 and up or whatever it is were getting on there too easily. So they got like punished. Okay. But yeah. And
thank you for the point.
You think all of Texas has just been walking around with horny men that can't find any?
Well, no, that's why I said where there's a will, there's a way.
In an office building. This is so
What?
I'm in an office building.
I know. I'm in my home with my children on the other side
I
of the door.
They can't hear me.
No. Okay. Well, so shifting from porn back to phone sex.
I just don't see why you would take that route if there's more exciting available.
What if you're out of town for a long time or you're in a long distance relationship?
Like, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, that's I'm not judging. I'm not judging you.
I'm not judging either. I just didn't know if people actually still did that or did that. Just seems like technology and life has developed to where that is.
Now it makes it even better. Like now.
Yeah. Oh gosh. This is like something kids probably do, huh?
Stop. Like, no.
Yeah, probably is. Like when they stick. I know that FaceTime's such a big player, right? Like I've seen just like preteen girls or teenage girls just like they get up and you probably know this more than me. Like they do their whole face makeup look just to FaceTime boys or like just to FaceTime people.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so exhausting.
Yeah. And they just walk because you don't actually have to do like meet people in person anymore. And it's easier. You don't have to like go ask permission from your parents to go to have ice cream or to go out. You can just FaceTime someone. Oh my gosh. But anyway.
Yeah, that sounds awful. Okay. But here's my question about this alert that you get to let you know that you're having phone sex in case you weren't aware. Like, what does it say? Like on my, you know, like on my Apple Watch, it'll be like, you're like, I had to turn it off because I would get fired up when I was having conversations and like my heart rate would go up and it'd be like, you need to chill the fuck out. So I wonder what it says. Like, what does the alert say? Like, ding, like, you look like you're having a really good time.
Right.
How much longer till we reach the end of this thing? I don't know. I mean, like, what is
need
it
a say? Hand?
What did you say?
Need a hand? What?
Obviously, if it's over the phone.
What if it's an Amber Alert and your phone goes nuts and people can hear the alert? Jasmine said that'd be so embarrassing.
That would be awful, but also amazing.
Oh my gosh! Apple that implemented this or the iPhone.
I don't know, but if somebody has received said alert, please screenshot and send it to us. For real.
And we won't reveal your identity.
No. Oh, no. Secret's safe with us, for sure. Okay. So anyway, now that we've gotten that out of the way.
Right.
Anything else we need to discuss before we bring in our Hannah girl?
I don't think so. I think we're all good. The Hannah interview is so great. I really loved it. You'll hear on this interview kind of talking through Emily asked some specific questions pertaining to hers and her kids. And I asked some specific questions pertaining to my kids, because I think the overall thought is we don't realize how much nutrition is influencing them. But it was really great having her on. And I think that's pretty much it for this one.
Yeah. We'll have plenty to talk about next week, but this is a great interview. So we hope everybody will stick with it. But yeah, we'll see you next week. And here is Julie. Say, here's Hannah.
And here is Hannah.
And we are so excited to welcome into the Coppola Studios a very special guest brought to us by our friends at Yokiero. She works with Yokiero. She is a registered dietitian. Her name is Hannah Ibwagu. First of all, how'd I do?
So great. That was perfect.
Nailed it.
This interview is off to a great start already. Well, Hannah, thank you so much for being with us. And we and Yokiero have been partners for a very long time. We know about their mission, their products. We love them. And they really do put an emphasis on the nutritional side of things with their, you know, 1,000%. Snacks and all that kind of stuff. And especially now with the grab and goes. So we just wanted to have you in to talk about not only the Yokiero products, but also to just kind of nutrition in general, especially with before we know it, school will be starting back up and trying to keep our kids you know, healthy and fueling them with good stuff. So first of all, how did your relationship with Yokiero start?
Yes. So I do a little bit of media stuff on the dietitian world. So I do a little bit of TV, do a little social media. And Yokiero, Texas-based, local, I absolutely love working with farmers or different brands that are here locally. And they were like, hey, you're super bubbly. You bring a different spin. I also do a little different things in my practice. I work with adaptive nutrition, which is kids and adults with special needs, as well as I work with athletes anywhere from high school all the way up to the pro level. And so I'm always looking for like other products that parents can implement or athletes can implement, grab and go, but I know what's actually in their product. And so Tara, who's awesome, awesome. She's like, you're my girl. We started working together. I absolutely love their products. We keep them on the shelves and in the fridge at my home. And then they're always in my backpack. They're grab and go. Guacamoles are so fun and easy, especially when I'm going to a football practice that I'm and like an athlete hasn't eaten. It could be really easy on their tummy.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us how you got started in this whole world of nutrition.
Oh my gosh. So that kind of throws us back a little bit. I grew up, I was a dancer, ended up breaking my hip in eighth grade. Not an injury that people get in like eighth grade.
How do you break your hip in the eighth grade?
Yeah. Honestly, it was honestly the coach's fault.
Okay. You're like, not to sugarcoat it.
It was not a me thing. They ended up, I dislocated it. They stepped on my hip to push it back to place.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You know,
this was dancing. Day,
yeah. Oh. I was actually just like conditioning. And so it wasn't I was training as a dancer, but I was conditioning and running.
Who tries to pop a hip back in place? Like I've heard of like an elbow, maybe even a shoulder. Yeah. A hip?
Mm-hmm. They put a towel in my mouth. It was like, oh this is going to be great for an eighth grader. I couldn't walk, so I was like in a half body cast. Well, after that, I like lost all my flexibility. It wasn't a great dancer anymore. So I became a powerlifter, which is not a very common sport, but like was just known to be abnormally strong for my size. And so started that in high
school. Emily and I get that all the time.
People are like, oh my gosh.
She's so abnormal.
Look at the guns on that woman.
Hey, but there's nothing wrong with it.
Hell no.
We love that.
It's amazing. No, I wish. No, I'm saying I wish said that about me.
Yeah. I was like, it used to be this world of like, you're going to like lift. It's going to be like, you're going to turn into man. I feel like that's out the window now.
Oh, for sure.
Are like lifting, which is awesome.
Well, especially now with like all the Ozempic stuff and all that, where people are like turning into skeletons. And
people are like, you gotta need a resistance train.
Yes, you got you got to lift some heavy shit.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I did that. It was a weight class based sport. So nutrition was always super like a part of that. Ended up doing it through college. I went to Baylor University in Waco, Texas, Second Bears, and lifted there. Thought I was going to be a teacher. Could never step a foot in a classroom. Mm-mm. These kids these days. Oh. Thank you. Not for me.
Trust me. We have a few. We have a few ourselves.
So I took some career advising. They were like, hey, we think that you should study nutrition. Took one class. Absolutely fell in love. And so, here we are. I never thought I'd own my own private practice. That was more of the Lord's doing. I was like, that's a freaking shit show. No, thank you. That's too much work. I want to just be a sports dietitian. That is what my dream job is. But the Lord was like, no, here you go. You're going to do all these things. And it's just we're just going to run with it.
And where are you based out of?
I'm based out of DFW.
Okay.
I service athletes across the nation. And then I travel a lot on the adaptive side, mostly in the state of Texas, just because of insurance wise, but my athletes are all over. And so my biggest component is free agency. I love when athletes, I don't love it, but I love when athletes are released from a team. They're just fired. People don't realize like the emotional stuff that athletes go through on like free agency, and they lose everything. They lose all of their coaches, all of their support staff and team. So I saw a huge gap and I was like, these athletes are still athletes. Like they can still do what they need to be able to do.
And they still want to.
Exactly. And so as long as that they have support, we can get there.
That is so cool. So there's so many different avenues of this that I kind of want to talk through with you. I don't know. We could start with the athletes or we could start with the kids.
I think that you bring up the adaptive stuff, which I think a lot of people don't realize how much nutrition and what you're putting into your body plays into And Julie has a son that was recently diagnosed with autism. Does that all play?
Yes.
That all plays
into
it?
So I actually screenshotted this part on your website because I read through this. Are you a parent or caregiver that is struggling with a picky eater? Check. Food aversions? Check. Medication side effects? Check. Specialty diets? Check. Underweight, overweight, or complex relationships with food for their child or family member with special needs? I think it's just... so much starts with food, and you can see it in behavior, which is crazy, right? So that's why I just think this is such a cool conversation that talk with you about.
There's not a ton of dietitians that do this. I think that the world of autism, as well as like the world of any other mental health disorders that we are seeing, whether it's the rise of ADHD and ADD or it's the rise of autism or OCD or anything like that. What people don't realize is the brain and the gut are incredibly connected. And I think that people are afraid to like dabble in that area because one, the kids are fragile. We have to realize like some of them are nonverbal. Some of them have behavior. Some of them don't want to see you. There's a whole plethora of things. And so it's hard to find practitioners. Gratefully, I grew up in this space. My mom has always worked with kids and adults with special needs. So like we had kids in our home. We always did events with them. So that was never my fear. I wasn't ever afraid to like dabble into that. And I really did want to be a special education teacher. Nutrition was just a way that I could just be more nurturing. On the sports side, I'm super intense, super like aggressive, direct, and all the things. But on the adaptive side, I get to be a lot more nurturing, a lot more bubbly and friendly. But it takes a lot of patience. And mm-hmm. so realizing that like the neurotransmitters between, this is where it gets all sciencey, between the gut and the brain work and communicate. And if they're not communicating the way that neurotypicals do, they can increase a ton of behaviors. But if we can utilize food, not just as fuel, but as a way to communicate between the brain and the gut, we can minimize some of those behaviors, making mealtime and like sitting at a table not as frustrating for the parents or even their siblings.
Right. It's
so fascinating.
It was just like 2 nights ago. It was, you know, my husband cooked some chicken, cooked all this stuff, and then all of a sudden everyone's arguing because he doesn't want to eat it. And then the night just goes boom because of food.
Yeah.
How do you handle like picky eaters? Because we have to get these kids eating.
Exactly.
So I'm sure you have like a strategic approach for, you know, finding things.
Yeah.
That's where I just, it's like the energy, the time, the grocery shopping, the everything, it gets super overwhelming.
Yeah. I always tell, especially our parents, not to be short order cooks. Okay. So like one, we have to figure out, what is their safe foods? Is it the chicken nuggets? Okay, fine. It doesn't have, like our plates were always preaching on, like even an athlete side or just neurotypicals, like colorful plate, different textures, all these different things. Those things are scary to my friends with special needs. And so if we realize that their plate just looks really brown or tan because it's like chicken nuggets, rice, and oatmeal, and that's like their main foods. Okay, well, how do we emphasize those? How do we make those a little bit better? How can we change them up? Granted, they know when you change brands and when you change textures and all these different things. So it's also by exposure. And so we call it a food bridge. So let's say, hey, they really love veggie straws, but they won't actually eat vegetables. I'll stick with your veggie straws. That's a safe food. And then we make a food bridge as in like, okay, now there is freeze-dried green beans. They still have the same crunch. They're still salty. You can get them at the grocery store. They
Dude,
have those the same
green
colors.
Snap peas, those are delish.
Exactly. So if we can find something that has the same texture, the main seasoning is typically the same. We can mix it into the food and just do it by exposure. Again, if they're just playing with it, they had sometimes bring it up to the mouth, that's a win. And I think that that's the biggest thing with my parents in this field is like, you have to celebrate the small wins. If not, you're gonna lose it and you're gonna get frustrated. And that they feel that every ounce of it, whether they're verbal or not. Yep. And so it takes a lot of patience. And that's where I tell parents, if you can find a dietitian to work with them, because it takes that burden off of you. And it allows that there not to be a break in that relationship between the mother and the kiddos, or the dad and the kiddos. And so the dietitian gets to be the person that challenges them and then challenges those food aversions or food varieties for them. But I would definitely say food bridges, and don't just find a way to emphasize what your plate already looks like. It doesn't have to be overwhelmingly like we're going to the restaurant
a rainbow.
We have to do a completely different thing that they've never been exposed to. No. And you have to also realize any kid's food, like their taste buds change about every 100 days. But a kiddo with autism, it typically takes them about 200 days for their taste buds to change. So exposure takes a lot longer, as well as 15 times is typically when a kid wants to try something new, and that's a neurotypical kid. But we see that it's like 45 to 50 times for a kid that has autism or ADHD.
So interesting.
So there's a lot of like science that goes into it, but people just have to learn to be patient and learn to celebrate the small ones. I think that's one of the biggest things that we do in my company.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I mean, I think we're starting to hear more about how, like you said, the brain and the gut are so
correct.
Interconnected. But you just don't think about things like that, how that can affect. I mean, I think we all heard growing up like, oh, you're on a sugar rush, you're on a sugar high. And so we heard about sugar, but basically that was it. It's like, okay, well, don't eat so much damn candy and then you'll be fine or, you know, whatever. And so to know that there's so much more, and to know that like you're not saying no chicken nuggets, no veggie straws, no this, no that. Like, let's find the stuff that's already in your diet that's, you know, that's fueling your body in the proper way. And then let's try to expand.
Exactly. Because people are always like, oh, well, the kid will eat whenever they're hungry. That is not the case with autism. they will ride that wave out for as long as possible. And then now we're going into some disordered eating patterns or malnutrition. And so it's like, if you have a kid that has food aversions or that might be on the spectrum, you have to still feed your kid. You can't just be like, oh, they'll eat when they're hungry. Yeah. That is like something that we're really, really moving past. But that used to be what everybody was told.
Yeah.
Eat when they're hungry. Like, we'll just do the clean plate club.
Yeah, right. And sometimes you should start there. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of people go to their doctor and then they get medication mm-hmm. or whatever. And then they kind of from there, I guess, would maybe try counseling or try something like that. But maybe we need to start with food sometimes.
Yeah.
That's 1,000%. The core of everything for all of us.
Oh, food is
whether
medicine.
You're a kid, you're adult. Yeah, exactly.
In any aspect. It's not just fuel. There's so much more to food.
And then how about like tired, stressed out moms who don't feed themselves properly?
Oh my gosh, we're starting to see that a ton. Yeah. I'm like really feeling for our parents right now. They are drained, and I feel like that there's a lot more activities that our kids are involved in. So even if you're not on that side of the adaptive world, but if you're just a mom right now, like your life is so busy, you're typically working, it is really imperative to feed yourself and fuel yourself, because your brain and your gut is also connected, and it can impact the behavior that your family sees. So making sure that you always, just like you pack something for your kids, like it might just be in your purse or your car, like, hey, I have like a granola bar, I have a go-go squeeze. Just because it might be quote unquote like a kid food doesn't mean it can't be fuel for yourself. And so I think we're really pushing past the moms that are just grabbing a coffee as their breakfast mm-hmm. of like, hey, I need you to eat
guilty
something
today.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So while I have you here, I do intermittent eating.
Okay.
I say that because I drink a latte in the morning and I will drink a glass of wine or two at night. So I don't really call it, it's not intermittent fasting, because I'm still
there's something
yeah mm-hmm. but it's my own thing. I'm like, I'm not willing to go all in. So but I've done this for several years. Is that how, I mean, my window's usually like 12 to 6. I mean, and I'm not like you know, adamant about it. Like mm-hmm. if I'm on vacation or if like shit happens and or if something looks good, I'm not like depriving myself and like I can only eat between 12 and 6. But it's something I've liked. I feel like my body is now so used to it mm-hmm. That I enjoy it. Are you a proponent of that or are you not?
Kind of depends.
Okay.
Their intermittent fasting or intermittent eating can be done in a lot of different ways. I think the people that will still eat through normal hours of the day, I'm okay with it. And other ways, some people do the 24 on and 24 off. That is not sustainable.
Yeah, I'm out on that.
Yeah.
I'm totally out on that.
And so that is not helpful. What we do realize with intermittent fasting is that you have control over how your metabolism works. Your stomach actually doesn't know a time clock. It does know when you're sleeping, but it also is constantly working all the time. So if you are hungry, you and you're avoiding your hunger cues, now you're rewiring your brain as well as you're rewiring your metabolism. And so that's what we have to be really careful about.
Okay.
Especially as women age and are going through premenopause or menopause.
Here, here. All here.
If we start to throw off our metabolism, it can drastically affect how we're going through menopause. And so people typically see like weight gain through menopause. They're typically seeing like drastic mood swings and all those things. A lot of that is linked to your hunger cues, and a lot of that is linked to your nutrition. And so you still have to be able to listen to your body. I'm not against it, because I think that people, they might eat in like really late hours, and that's not, we don't want that, because that can lead to like GERD and all these other things that aren't helpful. And so intermittent fasting is great for that, to be like, hey, I'm stopping eating like 2 hours before I go to bed, 3 hours before I go to bed, which is great. That's where I love this. But in the morning, we also see that that's the best time to wake up your metabolism and keep it fired up. And so when people are like, oh, I'm just not going to eat breakfast.
Yeah.
One that you have to also think, if you're a parent, your kids are constantly watching you. They're watching that behavior and they're learning that behavior.
Henry, the other day, my son was like, Julia, but I just turned out. Sorry. Yeah. Henry, my son, the other day was like, Mom, are you going to eat? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to eat. And he was like, I feel like you only eat one meal a day. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't. I eat a bit, usually eat a pretty big lunch.
Yeah.
And then I'll snack throughout the afternoon. And then by that time, by dinner time, I'm not terribly hungry. But I noticed he was like, he's watching.
Their kids are always watching.
Paying attention. And I'm like, I promise I'm eating. Look at me. I mean, I'm fine. Trust me.
But they're learning those behaviors. They're learning, well, like if mom's fine, Well, I
especially
I,
the girls.
Probably. Yeah, mm-hmm. especially the girls. And we're seeing a huge increase in disordered eating habits in our high schooler, as well as in our middle school and even elementary schools. And so people are realizing that their kids are watching them. And so you have to be cognizant of like, yeah. it might just be peanut butter toast. If that's what gets you through the morning, your kid is seeing you eat something. They're seeing you not body shame yourself. They're seeing you not right. like talk negative about food. So that's like the other big implication that I see with our parents of if they're gonna do like intermittent fasting, you still need to prioritize like mealtime with your family. And that's yeah. where they aren't doing that because they're like, well, I don't eat during this time, so I'm not going to sit here and do it. And so it like there's my like qualms with it, but I still think like there is some good behind it. I think as Americans, we're just constantly eating. And so it gives you a good way to kind of like put some parameters and put some boundaries on it.
Yeah.
But we also have to remember that there can be some negative side effects. And so you just have to be aware of those things.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great advice.
And how about the athlete side of things?
Oh, my love.
Yeah, really. So you work with like professionals, mm-hmm. athletes of all kinds, specific
mostly
sports.
Strength-based sports. That's just because that was my first love, resistance training. And that's, I have my CSCS. And so I love strength, the aspect of strength-based. So rugby, football, gymnastics, those are my main sports. But I do see a lot of swimmers, soccer. Lately, I've been doing a lot more with endurance training athletes. You see a lot more with runners, and everybody and the mom wants to run a marathon right now.
Right.
So that's
I ran one at 30 and I don't think I'll ever do it.
Yeah.
It's just too hard on my knees. Yeah. I can check that shit off because I'm not doing it again.
So do you have to adapt the food to the sport?
1,000%. Anybody in my resistance train or my strength-based world is eating completely different than my endurance athletes. I really say that a lot of times my endurance athletes, we call it periodization in the nutrition world. We're timing their food out based off of their routine, their exercise routine. If you're running for over an hour, you have to be eating during the run. So like that's very different from like my strength-based world.
Yeah.
And like what they're eating. We're going carb heavy.
Oh my gosh.
We're doing all of that. We're doing a lot
of
sugars.
Those little goose squeezers. Oh, they were so gaggy, but I'm like, I know I got to do this.
Yes, because if not, you'll hit that wall really yeah. fast. And so we're learning a lot in the endurance world that like it's just like the fourth endurance aspect there. Everybody's like, oh, it's biking, swimming, and running. But then if you don't throw nutrition in there, you cannot be an endurance athlete. And endurance athletes, they really, really harp on the carbohydrates. And that's where the sports performance beverages came from. That's where the goos come from. That's where all of these nutrition products really came from, was the endurance side. On the strength side, you can truly eat your normal meals. And like the only thing that you might be supplementing if you can't get it fully in is your protein. And that's just because their body's taking a lot more hits. That doesn't mean that both sides don't need carbohydrates and protein. It's just at a different time and a different amount. Mm-hmm. But we definitely fuel them completely different.
Yeah.
Okay. And then one more thing while I've got you personally, I've got you here, I might as well. So I have a 14-year-old who's mm-hmm. about to be 14, and he, you know, has hit his growth spurt. Yeah. He is a very hard worker. He gets up every morning, even in the summer, and works out.
I mean,
he is like, he's
the drive at this age is crazy.
He is wanting so bad to be swole. I mean, the dude wants to be, I think he wants to be jacked. Like he just wants to be
yeah.
big and strong yeah. and he's weighing himself and he's drinking protein. Uh-huh. We
protein
do
powder.
Thread.
Okay.
We do Thread. And so he's just eating, you know, he's Sounds eating cool. a lot yeah. eggs. And so what would you like, what did he call it? He was like, Mom, I'm bulking. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, excuse me. I didn't know we were in our bulking era. So he's doing all this stuff mm-hmm. and trying to work out, but also too, and it's funny, my husband and I just, or him had this conversation this morning because he was up early working out. And my husband, who is a, like, he'll push. Like, my husband, mm-hmm. well, he's not an easy dad. But today he was like, dude, like, you've got to, your body also needs rest.
1,000%.
Like, because he's right now, he's like, well, my off day is Sunday. I'm like, I don't know that at 14, like, this is, you know, and he was mm-hmm. telling him, like, bud, you've got to back off. Like, yeah. your body needs to mm-hmm. catch up with all you're doing. Like, I love that you want to do all this, mm-hmm. but you really probably need to back off a little bit yeah. and not do 6 days a week.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's doing anything like terribly, you know, strenuous mm-hmm. or with super heavy weights or anything. I mean, yeah. he's mixing in running and agility mm-hmm. stuff and all that.
It's probably something you see with kids at that age.
Wanting,
often,
yeah,
like
he's really wanting, yes, wanting to like speed up this process, gain weight.
My brother at that
especially
age
in
was
the summer.
Same. Yeah. He was like creatine, like yes. all the stuff,
yeah,
like weightlifting. You know, he wanted to have the record in his middle school.
Yeah, like yeah. So oh yeah, like Henry'll be like, at that age. I benched, you know, 105 today or it's something. Nothing. You know, it's like okay. So what advice would you give like a mom like me who has a, you know, teenage boy who wants to, he wants to bulk up or whatever, but I want him to do it safely mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. you know, to his, I mean, he's putting in the work, like how can we maximize the work that he's putting in and
yeah.
support him in the right way?
Totally. So here's the thing is that like at their age, they are still growing. He is nowhere near done growing.
Yeah.
And that's where like we have to get in their mindset of like, hey, you're not even at your peak testosterone level.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like there's still so much. On the nutrition side, I think as a parent, like one of the biggest things is variety. Especially boys at this age, they are so okay with chicken, rice, and eggs
uh-huh.
all day long.
Yes.
And it makes me want to gag.
I know.
I don't know how they do it. And they're like, oh, I switched the sauce. Okay, switching a sauce is not switching yeah. the meal up. So I think we're, one, in America, we're just really lacking variety in our diets, period. I'm so here for, like, the push for the high protein. That is a great nutrition trend that we're on.
Okay.
And so there's no concern there, but it's like we are missing fruits and our veggies. Everybody wants to be on the carnivore diet, which is just a glorified way to say keto diet, which both of them aren't really healthy because there's no variety. And we're lacking fiber in our diets, which is messing up their GI system as well. And so variety is a really big one, even if it's just a variety in his carbs, a variety in his protein, but making sure he's also getting some color in there.
Yeah.
Especially if he's not a picky eater. So that's like a great way. Pushing for a little bit of rest, you will not see the results if you don't have rest.
I'm going to make you say that again. I'm going to send it to him on a video. So
you,
yeah.
People like, and there was a time that I did it too. Like you work out, you're like, I have to work out every single day because the scale is going to change this way or whatever. I think that if we got away from the scale, and like I always tell, especially someone in those shoes, let's do a body composition like scan, and you can go to different places to get them. You can like DEXA is the best one that I have, and not like the scale that you step on and do a body comp, but it's a good way for them to see like where their body is growing. At their age, their body density or their bone density has to align up with the muscle mass. So if they're not seeing a drastic increase in their muscle mass, it's because their bone density is not ready for it yet because yep. they're not done growing.
Yeah.
So like he can still be bulking up and setting these parameters in place and getting a good routine in, which is great. But he just might not be seeing the results because he's not resting to give his body enough time to truly grow and develop. But also like his hormones have to catch up. His bones have to catch
yep.
up. Like all of these things have to catch up. It's not just the muscle mass. And so I think parents are like, oh yeah, you are doing all the things right, but like I don't know how to really help you. I think truly like we're seeing a huge push in elite athletes at such a young age, but you also want them to just be a kid for like a day
yeah.
and like
yeah.
run around and do all the things. And so it's okay if they like are resting like Sunday and like Wednesday. If Sunday is his day, then like Wednesday, like let that be like your active rest where it's just like, hey, we're going on like a walk.
Yeah.
Because people like minimize the magnitude of a walk can do. And so it helps flush out some of those toxins that from the muscle buildup and the muscle development so that you can see the results like later on. And as well as just like take pictures. I think people like are like so adamant about the scale, but you can see the results over time when you've taken
yeah.
progress pictures or someone else is coming in to see you. But I think as a parent, you just really have to focus on that variety and the yeah. diet because that can also have a huge impact on when they're seeing results and how fast.
Variety and rest. I cannot wait to play this in the last 5 minutes of what you just said for him. Thank you so much for
yeah.
answering
yeah.
that for me.
My last question is about, it seems like everybody's kind of in agreement about the processed food thing being bad. And then also the dyes is a hot red dye. I mean, and it affects the,
mm-hmm.
affects all mm-hmm. kids' behavior, all that, especially probably neurodivergent.
Correct.
Processed food and dyes.
Okay. So let's talk about it. Let's talk definitions for just a second,
yeah.
because this is where we're wrong. And this is where people get a lot of fear mongering aspect. Processed food is not bad. Ultra processed food is what we're really talking about. There is a massive difference. Like, for instance, Yokiro, our favorite love.
Yes.
This would be a processed food, even though it is just truly what's in it. You have your onions, your cilantro, your avocados, right? That's it. But it's processed because it's been mashed, it's been chopped. There's some spices in there. That is a processed food. Frozen fruit, what you put in a smoothie, processed food. It's just been frozen. Canned fruits and vegetables, processed food, but it's still the actual ingredient. Ultra processed food is when we have these emulsifiers, these sugar additives, these alternate sugars, these dyes. Yeah. Yes, all of these extra things. That's an ultra processed food where you look at it and you're like, I can't find the natural ingredient in this. That's what we want to stay away from. And that's the terminology we want to use in the world, because processed foods,
right,
aren't harmful at all. They're actually really helpful, and they can be really convenient for a parent or even any athlete, because they still provide a lot of nutrition and they're still healthy. Ultra processed food is what we want to stay away from. They do have an impact on behaviors, growth, development, school. I'm seeing a lot of that in our school setting, where we're seeing kids have this crash. It's because we've had a whole bunch of ultra processed food, maybe for breakfast, or we aren't really eating. And so they're having a blood sugar spike and then a blood sugar crash, which leads to behavior, which leads to anger, which leads to all these different things. Lack of focus in school, lack of development is coming from ultra processed foods, not our processed foods.
Mm-hmm. Never even knew there was such a thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like even like people are like go-go squeeze, like the applesauce.
Yeah.
Just a processed food, but it's just the applesauce. That's like, if you look at the ingredients on the label, it's just apples and maybe a little bit of honey on the sweetness side. Ultra processed foods are like these really fun,
like the colorful, Gushers, like,
yeah, oh all gosh. Of that, Pop Tarts.
How do you feel about nerd clusters? That's a big player in our house.
Everybody loves a good nerd cluster. Not saying that there's not a time and a place for ultra processed foods. That's the other thing
just
that I want to
minimize.
We just need to minimize them and like really understand the difference in the definition. And so they can be really harmful. Dyes do have a play in that. We've started to see a little bit more research, but they're not as much. I would say like red dye is going to be the one that we see the most of, and as well as people are allergic to it. Like my mom is like really allergic to red dye. Like it eats away at her mouth. She gets breaks out in hives. So we're starting to see that people are really actually allergic to red dye and they didn't know it. But like other dyes or other foods that are colored, like Unreal Candy. It's one of the candies that I use for my neurodivergent population because they're all colored and dyed with natural foods like beets.
Mm-hmm. That's the name of it?
Unreal Candy.
Okay.
And they all still have different colored. It's like M&Ms and like all these other fun things, but they're naturally dyed with other foods. And so you can, like, I don't want people to be like, I can't have any color or like any fun colors, but there's a way to do it and a way to see that there's different options. And so you really have to be careful, especially as a parent, with how much ultra process there is, but don't be afraid of the processed foods. It makes your life convenient and easy as a parent. Like that should, like, let's get rid of the fear aspect.
Yeah, right. That's fascinating. I had never even heard of ultra processed. Mm-hmm. Well, Hannah, this was fantastic. Thank you so. It was so insightful. I had no idea we'd get into all the things we did, but I'm so grateful. It was so fun. Yeah. And thanks for the advice for my kiddo and for Julie's kiddo on a personal level.
Yeah. So if parents are listening and maybe want to reach out to you and consult with you, how can they find you?
On Equipped or at Equipped Wellness, www.equippedwellness.com. And then on Instagram, Free Agent Nutrition, because I work with mostly free agents and all the things. Okay. And then if you just type in Hannah Ibuagu, and my last name is spelled E-B-O-A-G-U, you can find me anywhere.
Awesome. And then, of course, we can't forget about our friends at Your Hero.
The ultimate dip destination.
Exactly. Yes. As we get ready for school.
I know. Oh,
their grab-and-go stuff is super helpful.
Yeah, it's great. It's
amazing.
Well, thank you. Ready to go feast.
I know. Thank you so much for being with us. Yeah. We end every show. This is your camera. You'll look into it. We throw up the peace signs and we say, Mom, game out.
Okay.
On the count of three. One, two, three.
Mom game out.